Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, today's article comes from Popular Science.
Yes. I haven't read Popular Science for a long time.
I know, it's been a while.
And
it's entitled, Why Your Brain Makes New Year's Resolutions Impossible to Keep.
We had to have one, at least one on the brain, right?
That's right.
Okay, this is fascinating stuff.
Yeah. The author is Claire Maldarelli.
Oh, Maldarelli.
Maldarelli?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's close.
It's good. Claire Maldarelli.
Mm-hmm. And it's from last year, actually, but it's some good stuff.
Right. And so, once again, it goes back to ancient Rome, right? And what he talks about in the beginning is I'm sorry. Why do I think it's a he?
I don't know.
I kept reading this article thinking, I like this guy. Pardon me. I apologize.
Sorry, Claire.
So he goes back and says, why do we keep doing this? Mm-hmm. Most of us fail, but we do it year after year for 4,000 years, and we keep failing. And he said, why do we keep doing this? What is it about our brains that we keep doing this? And I said it again.
I know you were saying he a lot.
Okay, so she, Claire, I'm going to get this right. So she says there's two reasons. Number one is, because you keep failing.
Right.
You keep doing it because you keep failing, so you keep trying, and you keep failing, so you keep trying. And the second reason is...
Well, and on that, it's we've talked about many times before that we get really good at what we do repeatedly.
Right.
So if you make a resolution and fail at the resolution, it's going to make you really good at failing at resolutions.
Right. Yeah, we got to get this right. I'm going to get this right next year. And then failed for the last 5 years, but by golly, 2018 is going to be a new...
And then you start to think, there it is.
That's right.
That's it.
Because you want to. Yeah. I mean, of course you want to, but you keep failing, so you keep trying. The second reason is because making a resolution doesn't require anything.
Right.
You know, it's easy to sit back, put your feet up.
It's a statement.
But it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
It makes you feel, I'm thinking about myself. I'm thinking about what I got to do.
Absolutely.
And I feel good about this, and the dopamine is flowing, and I am ready to go.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything about the new tax cut, but because nobody has to pay for it, right? So
right.
It feels good because we got something here that we gave you something, but we don't know how we're going to pay for it yet.
Right.
And that's what a New Year's resolution is like, because it's easy to make a New Year's resolution. You feel good, and you don't have to do anything.
Right. It's really difficult to get to the gym, but it's really easy to say, I'm going to go to the gym.
I'm going to go to the gym. Right.
And
it's rewarding to think, man, I am filled with resolve.
I am
a new man. I'm a new person.
Because that's what I'm going to do.
Right.
And then you don't. Then you think,
did it again.
There it again.
Right.
So again, our brain gets really good at what we do repeatedly.
That's right.
And so that's what makes change so difficult, because we get stuck in the routine that we're in, and you know, a resolution is all about change.
Right.
And so when we're in this routine, then it makes change really difficult.
Right. Let's go to the next one. this is such good stuff. The other terrible thing that requires no actions, and then the next one is they make the intention, but you don't have to do anything. And you remember last week we talked about it's not what you intend.
Right.
It takes more than an intention. It takes a commitment.
Right. Yeah. It's not an interest.
Right.
It'd be really interesting to do this.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There has to be some determination, some commitment to it.
And you have to go down just one more thing. He adds, we would never form a New Year's resolution about tasks we like to do.
Right.
So we're automatically, think about this for a moment. You're automatically putting things on the list that you don't like to do.
Right.
Okay, so be careful about that. Because if you were able to do these things, you'd already be doing them.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So remember that you're talking about stuff that you don't like to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it so difficult.
Right.
Okay? So be careful when you're setting these resolutions that you're taking on things that you don't like.
Right. In some very real ways, you're mm-hmm. setting yourself up to fail.
Right.
Because that's, you're saying that you're going to do something that is that really against what you want to do.
Even though you've been wanting to do it for a long time,
mm-hmm.
okay, you're not.
Right.
You're not doing it because you don't really want to.
Right. And to me, it goes back to that, what we talked about before. And I made the commitment of making sure I mentioned this repeatedly this week. And that is, when we say, this is what I want to do, I'm really dedicated to doing it, I'm going to start in 2 weeks.
Right.
You're probably not that committed to it.
You're putting it off.
Because if you were really committed to it, and it was really that important, right. you would start now.
Right.
And so if you're putting it off, that may be an indication that you're not as committed to it or as dedicated to it as you're attempting to convey or
and
want
that
to be.
Is a fabulous segue to the next mm-hmm. the next point that she makes. And that is, it's something called affective forecasting.
Right.
And again, I'm going to walk through this slowly because it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
When you make affective forecasting is you feel good about making the resolution,
mm-hmm.
and you think you're going to feel good about doing it. And that's called affective forecasting.
Right.
You think that you're going to feel the same in January
right.
as you feel in December.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and typically you don't, because remember, you're tackling something that you really don't like to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, you think, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go for a walk, or I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to the gym every day.
Right.
By the second or third day in there, you're going to be thinking, man, I really would like to go back to sleep.
Right.
I would really like to not be here right now.
That's right. I'm going to, man, I'm going to be able to run. I'm going to be able to, I won't be smoking. I'll feel a lot better. All I have to do is just not smoke for, you know. And then you get there, and mm-hmm. it's so hard
right.
you know, to do
yeah.
this thing. And then you give up.
Yep.
You know, because you think you're going to feel good when you're out there running. So you go, what do people do? They buy running shoes, they buy pants, they buy a shirt, and they look good.
All
and
that
man,
stuff is good
I am
stuff.
Ready to go. I am ready to do this.
Yep.
And you get out there and you hate it because mm-hmm. it's cold and it's hard and you're sweaty and nasty.
And you can't run half the distance you thought you were going
to
run.
You have to get up out of bed and you say, oh my God, I don't want to get out of bed, right?
Right.
Okay.
Because
if you wanted to, you'd have been up. You'd have done it last year.
Exactly.
So be careful of what she calls affective forecasting, how you think you're going to feel when you're doing it.
Right.
Because chances are you're not going to feel good doing something that you don't like to do.
Right. Because it goes back to what we talked about yesterday with the 7 steps. And that is, you know, anticipate the possibility of failure
right.
and obstacles, you know, look for obstacles mm-hmm. and watch for those because they're going to be there. And the biggest obstacle is going to be you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You're going to be your biggest obstacle.
Right.
So you have to be able to plan and prepare for that.
Right. And one of the reasons is our old friend habit.
Right.
Okay. When you take on a resolution,
mm-hmm.
when you resolve to do something, remember you're confronting your routines, you're mm-hmm. confronting your habits. And if you like to stay in bed on those cold mornings,
right.
it's going to be exceedingly difficult for you to overcome that, to do something you don't like to do.
Right.
Remember, you're leaving something you like doing for something you don't like doing.
Right.
That's why it's so hard to succeed.
And this will be your argument. I know this will be your argument, but listen carefully how we're talking about this. You may not intellectually like what you're doing right now,
mm-hmm.
but psychologically you like what you're doing now because
right.
that's why it's a routine. That's why that's why it's so natural.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's a habit.
Right.
Because psychologically, that is your comfort zone. Your comfort zone may be sitting on the couch, eating potato chips, and watching TV.
Right.
That's
what you do because that's what you want to do.
Right. And you may hate it the entire, again, intellectually, you may sit there and think, I hate that I'm sitting here doing this. I should
right.
be doing something else. But you don't get up and you don't do something else. So psychologically, that's what you're enjoying. That's your comfort zone. And so when we say you're going from something that you're enjoying to something that you're not enjoying, we're talking about it maybe even at a subconscious level,
right.
because
mm-hmm.
because it's what you're driven to do, because it's just what you do.
That's right. And so what she advises
mm-hmm.
to overcome this, one of the things that she advises, and I don't know whether this will work for you or not, but you can certainly try it. She says to use mindfulness. And by mindfulness, she means try to separate. You use mindfulness to separate the emotion from the task.
Right.
I hate running is how we talk. We talk like that.
Right.
Okay, I hate running. Start thinking about this and try to see if you can detach the emotion from the act itself.
Right.
I like to cook and eat. I love food. I like to cook. I like different cuisines. Right. I like different flavors. But in doing all that, you're eating foods that you shouldn't eat. I mean,
right.
You know, I love pasta, for example. Mm-hmm. I love pasta meals. I like to make it. I like to eat it. I like different meals with pasta. And it is comfort food for me.
Mm-hmm.
Has been my entire life. But if I'm going to be on a ketogenic diet or a high-fat diet, low-carb diet, I have to stop doing that.
Okay, right.
So I have to give up my resentment for not eating it, and I have to give up my fondness, my good feelings over eating it. So try this. Try to separate your emotions from the act, and that may help.
Right. That mindfulness is really there to counteract some of your natural neural pathways in your brain. You know, you have this fascinating, we love this region of the brain. We talk about this region of the brain often, the limbic system.
Right.
That is the id that Freud always talked about.
That's right.
Right? It is your hedonistic, natural, impulsive drive.
I'm doing it because it feels good.
Feels good.
Right.
And that could be good stuff, and it could be violent stuff. It could be whatever, because it's just the full expression of your raw emotions at that particular time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah? This makes me feel good.
Yes.
Right.
And so what we're doing with mindfulness is we're controlling that. We're keeping that temperature down in the limbic system so that you can make the good decisions that you need to make.
That's right.
Medicinally, we do that with all kinds of different medications, with benzodiazepines and things like that.
Right.
With mindfulness, and some of the research is showing that mindfulness and meditation and some of those things are just as good, if not better, than some of the medications for it, especially for long-term use.
Right.
But it accomplishes the same thing. It just keeps all of that temperature down so that you can control your emotions.
Because I know rationally, and what I have to think about during the mindfulness or during the meditation is I feel very bad about giving up pasta. But I know I'm going to feel very good about wearing clothes that I haven't worn for 2 years. Okay, that's also going to make me feel good. And those are the conversations that you need to have with yourself. You have to change the way you think.
Right.
Okay? Change your thinking. Because I have gotten into this eating pasta, you know. So to change that requires a change. So I have to separate the feelings from the actions.
And it's fascinating how psychological all this is.
Yeah.
Because you know, I've been on a ketogenic diet now for about a month and a half, 2 months or so. All right, and so I've been eating very few carbs and been feeling great. The other day, we had some grapes in the house. And I was like, man, I haven't had any grapes in a long time. I'll just eat a couple. Because psychologically, I think, man, this is really good because it's going to be, you know, sweet and it's going to taste. And I ate it and it was too sweet. It wasn't even good.
Right.
Psychologically, we hold on to things because we are, you know, reminiscing, or we're thinking back to, okay, that was the comfort
comfort foods.
But when you start a plan, start a new routine, psychologically, you're going to continue to feel drawn back to the old stuff.
Right.
But the more that you stick with it, the more you're going to realize that. You know where you're at, the positive changes that you're making really is where you need to be.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Anything else from here?
Next one. Two more. Okay. Next one is act, don't think. Stop thinking about it and start doing it. We've repeated it. We've said that several times. Don't sit around and think about what you're going to do. If you want to do it, get up and do it. There's no better time that, you know, we keep going back to that Chinese proverb, you know, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago.
Right.
The second best time is today.
Right.
There's no reason to wait for January 1st.
Right.
We know it's the holidays. We know there's stuff around. There's no reason to wait.
Absolutely.
Okay? So act, don't think. And the last one, and this is absolutely, this is worth, I was going to say $1 million, but $10. Listen to what she says. If you encounter a stranger, mm-hmm. what's your initial reaction?
My initial reaction? Well, you're a little guarded.
A little guarded, mistrustful.
Yeah, you're hesitant.
You may not like strangers.
Yeah.
Right?
Stranger danger.
Right. When you are projecting into the future, mm-hmm. the person I'm going to be,
right.
that person's a stranger.
Right.
So you're automatically, there's some aversion. Mm-hmm. Because you are creating a new person. You're creating right. a non-smoker.
Right.
You're creating a runner. You don't know yourself as a non-smoker.
Right.
Okay? And your brain is going to, whether you want it to or not, your brain is going to say, I don't know about this.
Right.
I don't know who this person is. Yeah. We better be cautious. Mm-hmm. We better. So once again, it's one of those forces that works against you doing what mm-hmm. you think. And you go back to affective
forecasting.
Mm-hmm. You think you're going to be happy with it, but then the other part of your brain is saying, I don't know about this. There's right. something out there. There's some person out there that we don't know.
That's
you know,
right.
We got to be careful.
That's right.
Maybe you shouldn't do this.
That's right.
And that's what your brain is telling. Maybe you shouldn't do this.
Right. Because you really are creating a new you. When you make some of these changes, you're redefining yourself.
I have to tell you something. I hadn't thought about it before, but as you were talking, we did a program years ago for youngsters who were right. overweight, mm-hmm. and we would reduce their weight. And about 4 or 5 weeks into the program, they would all start to lose weight. Mm-hmm. They would partly because they were growing taller,
right.
but also because they were eating differently and exercising more. At about the 5 or 6 week mark, they would all hit a plateau, mm-hmm. and many of them would go back.
Right.
They would stop.
Yeah.
We couldn't figure out what was going on. Mm-hmm. What it was they were suddenly a different person,
right.
and people were commenting on, "Wow, you look really good. You can do this. Hey, you can come out and play. You can go out for cheerleading." And they encountered a stranger. That's what was happening with these kids.
Right, because now the expectations placed on them is very different.
It all changed. Now yeah. I'm not this little fat kid who's going to sit in the background. Now you can come out and join. And it was, they were encountering a different self.
Yeah.
Okay. And your brain says, whoa, wait a minute, who is this?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So be aware of this.
Right.
Stuff going on in your brain.
Right. We try to help our patients with this
right.
very often because mm-hmm. when you're making these kinds of changes, there is a transition to it.
You are going to be a little bit different. People yeah. are going to react to you differently. People mm-hmm. are going to respond to you. It happens. I had a friend who, she had a couple of kids and was tired. But when the kids started growing up, then she went transformation and she became very attractive and lost weight and did makeup, and she started to get hit on by a lot of men, which was right. a completely new experience right. for her. And she said, I don't know what I'm doing. She said, I don't mean yeah. to do this, but she said, I was in the airport the other day and this guy came and started talking to me about stuff, and she was a little bit scared mm-hmm. because she knew that she wasn't doing anything or
right.
she didn't intend to do anything right. differently. And so, but it was a new self.
Right.
And the brain doesn't like a new self. Brain doesn't right. like strangers.
Right.
A brain doesn't like strangers.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. And change will bring on, again, a redefinition, a new definition of yourself.
Right.
So.
Right. So be aware.
Yeah.
You know, the brain is working, whether you think it is or not. It's doing a lot of little stuff there.
Yeah. So there's a lot of ways in which our brain can sabotage us.
Can sabotage. That's right. We yeah. sabotage ourselves sometimes. We don't even realize why.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, all right. That's it for today. Make sure you're following us in all the places that you can follow us, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or iTunes or YouTube or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because there's probably others that I never really think about.
I's, T's, and F's.
Okay.
iTunes, iPad, iPhone,
iPad.
YouTube, Facebook, I's, T's, and F's. I'm a technophobe.
Make sure that
I'm technophile.
Oh my. So make sure you're following us. We can rate us, review. That's going to, I'm sure, lead to a great rating from somebody. So,
well, speaking of which, where's New Jersey?
I still hear from her once in a while. She's on
Do you?
Yeah, on YouTube. The idea for the podcast that I mentioned earlier was from a different twist on sort of the failure to launch idea.
Okay, good. So I'm glad we're still here because I hadn't heard from her for a while.
Yeah.
I hadn't been teased or you two used
to. Oh, it's still there.
You two used to gang up on me. But I love my socks, my dinosaur socks.
Hey, Noreen.
Noreen, I'm glad you're still with us.
So, check out our Patreon page.
He's just trying to keep you to himself.
Patreon.com/TheMentalBreakdown. It's a great way to support some of the stuff that we're doing here so that we can do more.
Right.
We got lots of stuff to do. So 2018 is going to be a big year, I think, for some of the things that we're going to do.
So excited about the new year.
All right, that's it. So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.